You're listening to The Paranormal Void, a podcast about hauntings, demons, aliens, cryptids, unsolved mysteries, strange phenomena, eerie locations, and all those things that go bump in the night. I'm your host, Andy Cano. When it comes to alien abductions, most of us will brush it off as tall tales or traumatic memories attributed to imaginary nightmares as a means to redirect such an incident. But every now and again, we come across a story that makes us wonder and open our minds a little to the possibility of authenticity. One such incident does just that. The Barney and Betty Hill case is probably the closest thing to an authentic alien abduction case as you can possibly get. In late September of 1961, Barney Hill and his wife Betty went on a road trip for their anniversary to Canada and back down to their hometown of Portsmouth, New Hampshire. As they were heading home around 10:30 p.m., Betty saw a bright light in the sky. At first glance, Betty believed it to be a shooting star until she noticed the object moving in an unusual pattern and growing brighter. Because this was extremely out of the ordinary and their dog Delcy was getting a little restless, Barney pulled over into a picnic area near Twin Mountain to further observe this anomaly. As curiosity got the better of the couple, they decided to take a closer look through binoculars. Betty believed she saw a strange-looking craft with what appeared to be lights of every color. She had no problem believing it to be a flying saucer, as her sister claimed she had seen one years before. Trying to maintain reason and being a skeptical man, it was Barney's turn to view the object through the binoculars. His first thought, and what he told Betty, was that it was just an airliner. When the craft started heading his direction with no visible signs of turning, Barney realized that this was no commercial aircraft. Feeling uneasy, the couple, along with their dog, quickly jumped back into the car and headed towards Franconia Notch on a narrow, isolated mountain road. Continuing down the desolate road, the hills kept a slow pace so they could continue observing the object as it moved back and forth and came closer. Betty estimated the craft to be at least 40 feet across. As the couple passed a rock formation known as Indian Head, the craft began to close in on their 57 Bel Air. The craft got so close that Barney had to stop the car in the middle of the highway. At that moment, Barney stepped away from the car, binoculars in hand, and pointed them at the mysterious object to get a closer look. He described seeing 8 to 11 humanoid beings all dressed in shiny black clothing. All of these beings, except for one, appeared to move to some sort of panel, and according to Hill, one kept his focus. He described some sort of telepathic message instructing Barney to stay where he was at. He also described that some kind of structure was being deployed from the craft. Feeling they were in danger, Barney told Betty that the beings were going to capture them and that they needed to get back into the car. Fearing for their lives, the Hills ripped down the highway in an attempt to reach safety. Keeping his eyes fixed on the road, Barney asked Betty if she could see the craft. She could, and it was directly above them. The Hills reported hearing strange, repetitive sounds that seemed to bounce off the trunk of the Bel Air, and remembered being lulled into an altered state of consciousness. They also described a tingling sensation that came over their bodies. When the sounds and sensations returned, the Hills found themselves 35 miles down the road and had a poor memory, at best, of getting there. The next thing they remembered was making an abrupt turn which led to a roadblock. Beyond the roadblock, an orb engulfed in flame. The next morning, Barney and Betty finally made it home from their terrifying encounter. When they arrived, they had the overwhelming feeling that things were off. Barney's best dress shoes were scuffed really bad, and the leather strap of his binoculars were broken. Betty insisted on leaving her luggage near the back door, and both of their watches no longer worked. Barney also had the strange inclination to inspect his genitals. The couple took very long showers to wash away whatever it was that happened. Both Barney and Betty decided to draw pictures of what they remembered. Not understanding exactly what happened, the Hills tried to piece together what had occurred the previous night. While observing their car, they noticed small circles that seemed to be etched into the trunk. When they moved a compass near the trunk, it began moving erratically and pointed down when held at a short distance. Betty was planning on throwing her clothes from that night away, but decided to keep them, though they were beyond repair. They may have held clues. Betty noticed a fine pink powder on them, but the powder was lost to the wind. Betty's clothing went to 5 different laboratories for testing. The story doesn't end there. Betty decided to file a report with Air Force officials, but was reluctant to share every detail she could remember for fear of being stigmatized. A month later, the Hills decided to share their full story with Walter N. Webb. Webb was a member of the National Investigations Committee on Aerial Phenomena, which was the equivalent of today's UAP Task Force. Webb spent 6 hours with the Hills as they recounted their story. After interviewing the Hills, Webb concluded that they were in fact telling the truth, with the exception of a few distorted details, which were attributed to human judgment, such as time, distance, and the number of subjects that were seen, which is common when interviewing anyone. Nearly 2 weeks after the encounter, Betty began having really vivid dreams that seemed to be more like recalled memories. These dreams plagued her mind, and she finally started writing them down. Betty described being led through the forest and onto the craft they had witnessed in September by beings who were not quite human. She described them as being short in stature, with grayish skin, dark hair and eyes, and bluish lips. The beings seemed to be wearing some kind of uniform with a cadet-style cap. After being led to the craft, Betty recalls being separated from Barney and that he was in a trance-like state. She asked the beings where he was going, and they told her to be examined separately as this would speed up the process. She then described having examinations done on her. One of the experiments included a large needle being driven into her navel, which was extremely painful, but one of the beings covered her eyes and the pain subsided. Betty also remembers being shown a map of some sort, where one of these beings pointed out their home planet. The area pointed out is the astronomical location of Zeta Reticuli. Even stranger than all of this, Betty devoted a great deal of time trying to find this star system. She went to the library as often as possible, checking out all the books on astronomy that were available. Though most of her findings were doubted, the system she pointed out is a curious match. The fact that Barney and Betty Hill were both college-educated people, community leaders, and strongly involved in their Unitarian Church and civil rights gives added weight to this being not only the first, but the most compelling alien abduction story in modern history. The complete interviews, drawings, and information can be found in the documents of Project Blue Book and almost any website and book dedicated to the Hill case.
Thank you for joining me for another episode of The Paranormal Void. Make sure to like, subscribe, and visit my Instagram at the_paranormal_void. Give us a rating and tell your friends. Have some creepy tales of your own and want to share them? Visit our email at theparanormalvoid@gmail.com. Until next time, keep listening for all those things that go bump in the night.